Welcome back to Hideous Tomfoolery. Glad to have you here. How are y'all doing this evening?
Good, man. Hanging in there.
We ain't here.
Did y'all have a good weekend?
Hell yeah.
I don't want a lot of you, man. Yeah.
All right. I'll take that as a no from Zach. Rough weekend for Zach. Well, you're here
car
now.
Car troubles. Right. It's all good now. Everything's cool.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. What about you, Emily? Did you have a good weekend?
I had a very good weekend. We went and did a crawfish bowl thing and drank lots of beers and enjoyed some nice camaraderies and such.
Okay. Fun times. What about you, Steve?
I had a pretty decent weekend. Got really drunk and went to the Brew Dog, like brewery tap room down in Lancaster, or is it Canal Drive Winchester? I don't know. They're right next to each other for the first time, and it was super dope. A lot of fun.
Sweet.
Awesome. Griffin?
Help Brooks and Emily move. Fun.
Far away.
Not far away.
Was that okay?
Just from a shitty apartment to a nice townhouse.
Oh,
good for them.
They now live like two blocks away from me, which is super dangerous.
Oh, nice.
What about you, Heath? I know you didn't have the best weekend you could have had because you didn't come and hang out with me like I invited you to.
Well, I had to work. I mean, I'm also bummed I couldn't do that.
No, it's not an acceptable reason.
Okay. Well, other than missing a delightful opportunity... I worked one day, but the rest, like, I just played the dog shit out of Monster Hunter.
Nice. I respect it.
Trying to make that Stygians and Ogre gear, you know?
Heard.
Hell yeah.
How about you, Adam? Did you have a good weekend? It's Mardi Gras weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's craziness down here in the Big Easy. I had a great weekend. It was a lot, you know, I work downtown now, which is kind of a new experience for me during parade times because the parades, the big ones, go right in front of my office. And so, like, I got to get out of there before they start or else I'm trapped. Like, once they start, you're trapped. You can't go anywhere. Like, they shut down the roads and everything like that. So... it's also a very busy time for me at work, so we had to squeeze a lot of stuff into a short amount of time. I had to get out of there, and then I had to go, like, get set up at this warehouse gig that I did, like, and my parents decided to come into town this weekend, too, so there was a lot going on, but everything turned out pretty good, and had a real blast on Saturday, slept all day Sunday, and getting ready to go out tomorrow for the last day of it, Fat Tuesday, and it's an early day, so it's like get up at 8, start drinking at 8 type of day.
So there's no work tomorrow then?
The only people that have to work in New Orleans tomorrow are those poor, poor, sad souls that work at bars in the quarter.
Mm-hmm. Press F to pay some respects.
Yeah, like seriously, it's bad. And you know, so speaking of bartenders and serving drinks, Griffin, there's a question that's got to be asked.
Well, yeah, obviously. And we'll start with you since you're so keen. What are you drinking?
Well, let me crack a fresh one here. I am drinking a Founders All Day IPA, kind of my go-to when I'm just chilling.
Speaking of just chilling, choice. Heath looks like he's just chilling over there. What you drinking, dude?
I'm just drinking a Coors, man.
Drinking Coors.
Yeah, nothing impressive.
Well, speaking of nothing impressive, Steve, what you drinking, buddy?
Hey, everybody, this is Steve from the Hideous Laughter Podcast. I play Matumbe and Saw on the show. Tonight, I'm going to be drinking a Rock Mill Brewery beer. This one's their white ale. It's basically like a Blue Moon, but classy.
Ooh.
Speaking of classy, what you drinking, Emily?
I really thought you were going to go with Zach. Cool.
I was really, I rolled a die in my head. You guys are next to each other.
I too will crack my brew. It's a Bon and Viv grapefruit because it's the last one that I have. So.
All right. Well, speaking of the last one that I have, Zach, what you drinking, dude?
That works.
So I am drinking a little bit of this New Belgium. It's a fat tire, but it's a Belgian white. So basically like a Blue Moon, but more fat tire-y.
I feel like you're going to have like better beer options there being with Josh.
I will. Don't worry. Next episode, I got you. I got you a nice new one you haven't heard from me before, for sure.
Well, speaking of a better option, hey, it's Griff. How's it going? I'm drinking a big old mason jar of vodka, water, and lemonade Crystal Light. It's nice. Pretty nice. It's not very wintry, but I'll get
sure
over it.
Sure is a better option, though.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we have like it's like 70 degrees or something here today, so that's not like winter, so you're just leaning into it.
I think Steve missed the transition. I was speaking better option as in the person.
Sure.
Burn. Also
in that case, it's not. Never mind. No, don't agree with you.
0-2.
Well, cheers, all of you. And before we get too into this, virtual cheers. I mentioned at the end of last episode that you all leveled up, so we're out of level one into level two. Let's quick go around the table. Tell me your favorite new thing you got. Let's start with you, Heath.
I fucking got Lesser Confusion.
Okay.
I wrote, me and Zach deliberated a long time on it, and I was like, fuck it, man. I'm going into this like CC game.
Okay. All right. Maybe learned a thing or two from the Vorthoma, huh?
Yeah.
Try to do it better than they did. All right. I can dig it. What about you, Griffin?
I got, I'm all about the Betty. And so I got a Vanguard ability called Attracting Shield. So when I align my shield, spending that move action, I grant my aligned shield bonus to an adjacent ally. So that's pretty sick.
Bambalam. Yeah.
That's some tanking.
Yeah, that's some good shit there.
I really appreciate that.
I figured you guys might need it.
That's what I appreciate about you.
Zach, what did Vin get?
Your boy Vinny, I took a magic hack that I really like. Selective targeting basically lets you exclude an ally or a square from an AoE spell. So that's nice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, very nice. All right, what about you, Em?
So I leaned into character for this. Since there was a previous incident where Yavari had to like choose between carrying her soul bonded partner and her weapon, she wants to increase what she can carry. So I took the hauler feet.
Okay. Which should be called the hoss feet.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So so you treat your strength score as 3 higher for the purpose of determining your carrying capacity.
Wow. So you can at this point definitely just carry
everything.
Everything. Okay. Well, Steve, did you do anything to make Natasi more useful?
Oh, yeah, dude. So I just survived to this level to make that happen. But the exciting thing about this character is that, at least from what I feel and what I've read online, it's very difficult to make a heal bot in Starfinder. And by taking the archetype medic, I really think I was able to make that happen. So at second level, the medic archetype of the mystic gets this extraordinary ability called Doctor. And there's like 5 different things that appear under it. And most of them aren't particularly important. If you guys at home are interested in checking it out, just look it up. But there is one thing that really makes this archetype stand out, or rather this ability under the archetype. It's this line here: whenever you use equipment on one of your abilities to restore hit points to a creature, any surplus healing beyond that required to restore the creature to its maximum hit points restores that many stamina points to the creature. Many healers in Starfinder are either good at bumping up stamina or health and can't do both, but this archetype can.
That's dope.
Very nice.
Get you a bot that can do both.
That's right. Then this bot certainly can, so I'm going to be channeling like a motherfucker.
Well, let's recap what got you here. So you guys came to this planet. None of you are from here, is that correct? None of you are from this planet.
Yep. That's correct.
Yeah. And so you guys came here to join the SDF for various reasons. But the goal was to kind of help the SDF fight off the swarm that had come to Siskelion for whatever reason. Unfortunately for you guys, you kind of came to a losing battle. Siskelion was lured into a false sense of security before the massive swarm invasion actually happened. You watched as Brenoa fell. You made a long march across the countryside to regroup with your commander, who you saw had taken a mortal wound. And then you made an even further trek to a bridge that you had to run across before it was blown to stop the swarm that was tailing you from crossing over a giant ravine. You get there to Fort Gallant, the last kind of outpost of defense against the swarm, and realize that the plan there is to scrap Fort Gallant and do a full planet evacuation. And so you were sent by your new commander, Najari, right? Let me make sure I get that right. Yeah, your new commander, Najiri, who she sent you to now try to find this priest, this Shirin priest, who might have some information about the swarm, but he's holed up in this temple in the Jurdos Mountains. They gave you this little truck to pick up any potential civilians you found along the way, and the first encounter that you came across was some inmates who were posing as injured civilians, and you stopped and they sprung their trap, but you handled them pretty easily with a couple sweet driving moves from Vinny. You killed all of them but one, right? You kept one alive?
Yep,
you kept one alive who you know, surrendered and said, please don't kill me, I'm just here with them, you know, and we'll get into that more. But before we actually get into the game, we're going to zoom in to Natasi. And the camera kind of zooms in past her eye patch and past the eye patch into her kind of inner computer, her cerebrum or whatever, her core computer. And we go back in time to in near space in the not so distant past. Put on some music here.
Should we do them? Are we allowed to do them in this show? I mean, is that a thing that we can do?
Do you want to do them?
No, I think you should find a separate drop.
Yeah, it needs to be.
I think we should all do the Inception.
Yeah, that's it. I love it.
Yeah, let's all do that, and then somebody sample, "Let's go back in time," over the top of that.
Either way, we find ourselves in the not-so-distant past. Heels click as Dr. Natasi walks down the hall of her trauma ward aboard the star frigate Infernal Executrix. She heads towards her most recent patient, though the sound of her untarnished footwear might be difficult for the casual bystander to hear over the rhythmic pounding of the starship's pulse cannons. Dr. Natasi rolls her solitary burning cybernetic eye. The pirates were dug in deep on their pathetic asteroid, which barely qualified as a planetoid, and the Hell Knight captaining this vessel could have eradicated them much more efficiently had he not been plagued with overconfidence. The imbecile shot for a quick blitz victory with his shock troops, doomed to fail, of course, against the pirates' steadfast fortifications, and instead should have opened with the planetary bombardment, though victory certainly would have been a war of attrition against the pirates' flickering planetary shield. Now her beds were full of amputees and shell-shocked armigers, pleading for the death, with double that number spilling into her hallway. Her lip curled in disgust as she steps over another bleeding Hell Knight. Natasi consults her nurse's chart and enters the room of her newest patients. If she could still feel the emotion, what she sees might even surprise her. Despite the dying mass of humanity infesting the hall of her trauma ward, the armiger of this room's bed looks almost uninjured, his back propped up with a pillow and his head buried in a hollow tabloid.
Good afternoon, soldier.
Natasi greets him.
I'm Dr. Natasi, primary caretaker on the Infernal Executrice and the physician assigned to your well-being. It's my job to get you back on your feet and back in the fight.
Listen, sweetheart. Natasi, was it? There's no fight for me to get back into. I've bled for the Hell Knights. I've taken plasma to the leg for the Hell Knights. I won't be going anywhere to die for the Hell Knights. Natasi pauses, almost as if to give 1,000 calculations, time to run behind her burning retina.
My apologies, Mr. I mean Corporal Malfesh, but I am a medical professional assigned to your care. Calling me sweetheart is a bad start to our working relationship. Additionally, there is no need for a lengthy recovery time. I agree, of course, with my nurse's prognosis. A few laser stitches and a dab of synth flesh will have you back in the fight in no time. There is no need for natural healing or even physical therapy. In fact, I could have you back on your feet on the front lines this evening.
No, Miss Natasi, you don't understand, Corporal Malfesh pronounces in an entitled demeanor. I think natural healing will work just fine for me. No need to rush back into the thick of things with a wound like this. Give me something for the pain. Let me get my beauty rest here, and I'll be back on my feet maybe by the end of this thrice-damned campaign across the stars. Dr. Natasi cocks her head, and suddenly it snaps back upright.
I see. Logical and efficient when considering the frigate's dwindling medical supplies. How silly of my nurse and me not to consider this option in the first place.
She reaches beneath her lab coat and produces a long syringe.
Corporal, I will now administer a rather strong painkiller. Please put down the hollow magazine and prepare yourself. This may sting a bit.
A slow smile works its way across the armiger's face. Now you're talking my language. Get over here and give me that good stuff, sweetheart. I imagine I'll be back on my feet and ready for action in a month or so. Corporal Malfesh watches the android physician approach his bed. He thinks to himself that for a woman who has yet to show a single emotion on her unblinking face, something in her demeanor just feels off. And that maybe the battlefield doesn't seem so bad after all, before she plunges the 3-inch needle into the skin of his forearm. He opens his mouth, but it's too late to protest. His salivary glands begin working overtime, and spit runs from his open mouth down to his chest. His fingers and toes begin to involuntarily curl, and within the span of 10 heartbeats, he loses all feeling in his extremities, and his vision tunnels to the foot of his bed. He cannot even blink his eyes as Dr. Natasi walks into his line of sight.
Soldier,
she addresses him.
It seems the neurotoxin is working. Good, you should still be able to hear me at this point. I've been on this bloody campaign against lawlessness for just as long as you, if not longer. I've seen weaker men and women accept my treatment without question, pick up their weapons, and get back in the fight. You are aware that we are on a frigate and not a Hell Knight Star Citadel, correct? I have exactly 12 beds for over 1,000 soldiers, and if I'm not healing someone in every single one of them, double that amount are dying in my hallway. By refusing treatment, you are actively standing in the way of my divine programming, and I'm sorry, but I can't allow you to do that. That toxin you're feeling will leave no trace, and no one will ask any questions. By now, your heartbeats are getting closer and closer together. Soon, the muscle pumping organic filth through your veins will give out, and no one will question another corpse my coroner vacuums into space over this unholy Hell Knight crusade. Say hello to your god for me, Corporal, for I don't expect to see him or yourself in the next life.
Heart racing, Corporal Malfesh expires on his hospital bed, and the last thing he sees is Natasi's glowing eye. Soon after the guns cease firing, the infernal executrix enters the drift. In Corporal Malfesh's body, another link in the doctor's chain across the cosmos begins to burn, entering into the planetoid's atmosphere. So I would like to present Steve with an inspiration for writing that flashback.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Nice. Awesome, nice. Man.
I've got to step my game up, write some kind of NASCAR-related backstory.
Please don't.
Yep. So, I was really excited to do that, and I would also like to share with you guys one of the inspirations behind my character. It's going to be a photo that I send to all of you in a little while over our Discord. It is the promotional poster for the annual blood drive that they would do in relation to the releases of Saw movies for charity. And it says like, give till it hurts or something on it.
Wow. Nice, man. Nice.
Nice job. Nice job. So we're starting to get a little peek back into these characters' lives prior to the swarm. I like it. But we have pressing matters ahead. You have an inmate in your custody. And you have a Sheeran priest to find as well. What do you do?
So given that flashback, and I know I'm sucking up a little bit of time here, but Natasi pulls out a pair of binders that she has with her medical supplies and is going to approach Sigurd. Sigurd, you were responsible for keeping people like this behind bars. Would you do me the favor of restraining this prisoner?
No problem, sweetheart.
And she passes over the binders.
He would tie the prisoner up, kind of wrenching his arm behind his back.
Come on, don't fight against me. You'll make this harder on yourself, all right?
No. Yeah, and he offers up his wrists to you, you know. He's completely, like, you know, placated and trying to be as, like, compliant as possible.
All right, yeah, I restrain him.
Yeah. As you're restraining him, he's like, listen, I swear, I was just with them to try to survive. They were going to leave us there in the prison, and this was my only way out. I didn't know that anybody was going to get hurt. Please, I'm sorry.
Hey, man, it's all right with me. You didn't kill any of us, so look, you're in a bind here. You're the only one that had enough sense to stand down. We'll maybe try and get you out of here. Or at least leave you on the high ground.
Leaving me here is a death sentence. Please, take me with you. I won't cause any more trouble. Mm. I swear.
Y'all sure about that?
Man, fuck this guy. I know I'm the resident talkie boy here, but I don't got nothing for him. Fuck this guy.
I served my time. I've been in prison for over 20 years. I just don't want to be left here to be eaten by those bugs.
Yavari will kind of like lean down into his face and will say, what did you do to get imprisoned in the first place?
His face falls.
I can throw an intimidate on that if I need to.
And I can aid it.
He says, does it matter? I've served my time. I was due to get out in 6 months.
If you want to travel with us, it matters.
I killed a man. I did. I never denied it. I pled guilty to the charge. It was a crime of passion.
Oh, big deal. Who's never killed a man, right?
I mean, fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ashamed of what I did, but he shouldn't have slept with my wife.
Ooh, the old Shawshank.
I didn't kill my wife. Sorry, that's not the right movie.
That's a pretty convincing argument to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give him the gun.
I say we keep him around. Fodder for the bugs, if nothing else.
Would we know, like, are all of these people in this prison, are they from here?
You can roll a culture. Well, that one person of you that can.
I also can. I picked up culture.
Yeah.
I'm a cultured individual.
None of y'all put any culture points in on level two?
Yeah, I have a plus five to it now.
Oh, so do I.
Nope.
All right, well, Griffin and Steve, let's get culture checks. Oh, nice. From,
that's a 20. Dirty 20.
Sigurd. What's
dirty
that?
20.
Sigurd, you must have learned a lot in that last fight. I got a 17.
Okay, so with that 20, yeah, I mean, you can tell kind of by the way that they have, like, prisoner tattoos, like on their neck, kind of under their collars that they were trying to cover up with, like, scarves and stuff. And you would know from your experience as a prison guard that, yeah, I mean, it was a high-security prison that they were in. You can also tell that given the serial number under the barcode that's tattooed on him, that it does, you can tell that there's like a date kind of built into the code, and that he is telling the truth about being there for 20 years.
All right, look, I say we let him stay. What you think, lads?
I mean,
well, I don't want to damn a man, but, and I know we already got a fucking prison guard here, so that's convenient. But I got my eyes on you. I don't like the old bamboozle. All right.
Yeah, I mean, if we keep him, he's gonna be with me, but that might come at the cost of protecting one of you.
Faking a medical emergency. This does not bode well for his character. He'll try something again. I can take care of the problem if you all like.
Natasi, he's a prisoner. He's like a rat.
I'm
trapped in a drowning sewer drain.
I'm sworn to protect life, but not at this one's expense.
It wasn't me that was pretending to be dead. I was just hiding behind the car. As I said, it was my only way off this godforsaken planet.
Is that true?
Yeah. What? Does anybody have sense motive? You want to sense his motive?
Yeah.
Here, make sure he's like, you feel like he's on the up and up.
I want to know if he actually was like one of the two involved in faking it.
He was not. Okay. He was one of the hiding behind the other car.
Okay. I just didn't know if he was lying or not.
My sense motive got up to a 15.
Okay. Anybody else roll on it?
I'm not trained in sense motive.
You don't have to be.
I don't have any ranks, but
well, I got a natural one, so
I got a 19.
18.
Oh, okay.
Heath, you ready to put that one on the board? 19s?
18.
Okay, 18, and you got a 19, Sigurd?
Yeah, Sig got a natty 19.
All right, so Vinny, you know you're no stranger to criminal activity, you know, and neither are you, Sigurd, although for very different reasons. But both of you can tell that this guy is kind of playing it straight with you. You know that he's not working an angle. You've seen enough prisoners to know when someone's telling you a fib. And Vin, you've played enough angles in your own time, you know, to know that this dude isn't putting it over on you. At least seems that way.
Like I said, I think he's telling the truth.
I'm going to call you P3. You're the third prisoner I saw. Third one that attacked us. I don't want to get attached.
Well, again, I rolled a natural one, so, like, I think he's lying.
You think he's lying?
Yeah. Yeah, you're just going to have to lean into your mistrust of this guy. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I got my eyes on him.
Yeah.
You know, just keep me with him if... If it comes to, you know, him or us, I'll make the right choice.
And, I mean, he doesn't say anything to that, but he certainly looks nervous and slightly relieved that you've made the decision to not kill him outright.
Oh, buck up, chap. It'll be all right.
You want to polish Betty for me? She's got a little bit of your buddy's brains on her.
I mean, I will.
That's just what I wanted to hear. Perfect. We'll get along just fine.
My name's Pete.
Yeah, that's what I said. P3.
Close enough.
I think it's the best he's gonna get.
He's Peter Prisoner the Third.
Where is he at currently? Like, are we all standing around? Or are we actually in the truck now?
Yeah, I don't know why he's got an X on him, but I gotta put him on the truck. So yeah, there's now a truck on the map, by the way.
Yeah.
So you can switch. Oh, no, he is on the truck. He's right in front of you.
Okay. I didn't know if that was just, like, placing or...
Yeah, I figured that's how you place him. Sigurd's got him kind of up against the back of the truck. You know, Yavari, with Tex, like, kind of crawled up in Yavari's shoulder, just staring eyeballs, like, cutting daggers at him with their eyes. Just like, don't you fucking move.
I'm just waiting to cast lesser confusion on him.
And Natasi, riding shotgun, hopefully picking up some piloting. Please tell me that somebody else put ranks in piloting.
I mean, I did.
For level two.
I did. I've got some.
I mean, I've got some ranks in pilot.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't put ranks in that dumbass skill.
I figured there were going to be a couple people that could do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so your mission continues to move along, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Ben's okay. Gonna keep driving, right?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yavari's sitting in the back, just like
this Fast and the Furious motherfucker. Yeah, he's driving.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Vinny baby, nice driving.
Just doing my part.
Like nobody ever gets to drive other than him again.
No, yeah. Not after that.
So. Yeah, you guys drive for about, you know, maybe another hour and a half, another 80 miles go as you continue to pass by the snow-coated landscape. You don't really see anything for a while, and it seems kind of starkly empty as you see a planet kind of losing its identity and its life to the swarm. Approximately 140 miles north of Rayo City, that's where you came from, you make a bend in the highway and you see a fueling station and a shopping plaza off to the north. A single land vehicle is parked near the pumps, its tires slashed and its chassis covered in gouges. You see three humans inside, a couple and a child, and they're trapped. Because on this vehicle, you see four dredgers trying to cut their way inside and eat this family inside the car. Put you guys on the map.
Yeah.
Damn.
Get us on that map.
Get you on that map.
I just want to say you missed a prime opportunity to measure our time traveled in Creedence albums. Two Creedence Clearwater Revival albums later.
Is that a joke? I don't understand.
Every war movie ever is like
Yeah.
Yes.
If you've seen a movie once or twice,
nah.
You might know.
Come at me with that nonsense.
I'm sorry. I love you, Emily.
She saw Baby's Day Out.
I did. And Baby Driver.
Just baby movies. That's all she wants.
Yeah, those are pretty much for equivalent.
And Boss Baby.
Terrified of babies. I've seen a lot of baby movies.
Well, that's what it is. It's your terror manifesting.
Yeah, that's your horror.
Yep.
What is this like row of Bernie Sanders hair?
Shut up.
Okay, so that's the median that has snow covered like straw on it. The more pressing thing is this family trapped in the car with four dredgers on it. Now, the dredgers are very consumed right now with the car. And even as you pull up right here, they don't even seem to notice you. However, the family inside, you see them press a button kind of on the dash, and the emergency alarm starts, like, going off on the car as they're trying to get your attention for help. What do you do?
Look, let's do some more Fast and the Furious shit and do a five-person drive-by.
Yes.
The problem is there's potential to miss and hit the family inside the car, just to keeping that in mind.
Calculated risk.
Hey, P3, I think you and me are going to be a diversion here.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, we're going to see these things firsthand, so you better stay close if you want Betty covering you.
Well, can I just stay in the back of this truck?
No, you're going to put the weight off
no,
if I jump.
He throws him.
Are you going to give me a weapon?
Come on, use your fists like me.
These things will rip me apart.
I'll tell you what, if you make it through this one.
I don't have any fighting skills.
I throw in my club that I don't know why I got a club, but I got one.
If you make it through this one, maybe you can get the cuffs off.
These are the face huggers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're just like on the car, just like trying to slash into the car. And it looks like the one on the windshield has its claw like in the windshield and is starting to pull the pane of glass back. Like,
you.
And you see this small child in the back just crying, terrified. And then a couple in the front seat, just like, you know, they both have their feet up against the glass trying to hold the glass in place.
Are we in turn order yet? They're just distracted.
Yeah, you're not in turn order yet, but shit's about to pop off. You don't have a lot of time here, though. What you guys going to do?
Are we driving? Like,
I mean, I guess.
This is where we stop.
We keep pull driving. Up and like stop okay. right here. Kind
then of. Yavari's going to hop out and try and come over here, closer to the center of the south of the map. So that she can get a better shot on the one on the glass. Because it looks like maybe that's the one that's most...
Move your movement. And then roll initiative.
Oh, okay. There it goes. There it goes.
I'm telling you, this guy right here, this inmate, has no interest in fighting. He looks terrified and he looks old. Like, I gotta stress to you, this guy is old and been in prison for 20 years. But he's gonna roll initiative, too.
Yay.
Alright, that's gonna be a dirty 20 for Vin.
That is gonna be a dirty 20 for Yavari. Sorry.
21 for Sig.
22.
Alright, Zach, what did Vin get?
Dirty 20.
Okay. Tex, what'd you get?
22.
Okay. The inmate... P3 got 21. Natasi, what'd you get?
These initiatives are looking real good, guys, but I got a 3.
Ooh.
Which resulted from me rolling a natural 1.
God damn it.
Ooh.
Oh shit.
Oh no. Put it on the board.
Sigurd, what'd you get?
21.3.
Oh wow, okay. And Yavari.
You've already got a dirty 20, but she's going to go with Texas 22.
All right. Well, we'll see what... get the face huggers in there.
I mean, you don't have to.
And you're going to get a surprise. Only Yavari is going to get a surprise round, but she is going to get a surprise round. So you're going to get to start this attack.
Sweet. Okay, let's see what...
Let's see here. Let me roll this initiative. All right. So you got a surprise round. I assume you're going to make an attack on which of the four dredgers? We got four of them.
The western one. The westernmost one that is on the windshield. I assume that's dredger. The windshield one.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's dredger number 2.
It's going to be a dirty 20 to hit.
That will hit.
Baller, super baller. And let's see what it's going to be. Max damage! That was the light reaction cannon is going to be 10 piercing damage.
Wow. Nice. Wow. Okay, yeah. So that just, so the dredger is like pulling off this windshield and like he's just like had gotten it off to where like he was starting to crawl into the car, and you blast him like right in his thorax, and he pops out and looks at you and goes, and all the dredgers stop attacking the car and like look at you, it is actually your turn again, because that was the surprise round. And you have your actual turn now.
Okay. Well, so free action, she's just kind of like, and like try and draw all of their attention further away from the car, and is going to take another shot. Ooh, not so much. Nine
is a miss.
Yeah. It's like reloading her gun and fucks up a little bit. Fuck.
Okay, that's your turn?
Yeah. I'll hang back a little ways.
All right, Tex, you're up.
Okay, so Tex sees what's going down. He's like, all right, well, fuck, I guess we're offloading. And I'm going to jump off the truck and move just like up like 10 feet left of the truck and fire my hail pistol at the farthest right of the...
All right, that is dredger number 4.
All right. That will be a 17 total.
17 total will hit.
Nice. That'll be 2 cold and piercing damage.
All right, that goes through. Nice job, Yavari. I'm sorry, not Yavari. Sigurd is up.
Hey, P3, it worked out really nice that I called you P3 and you're Pete the Prisoner. Because you're also a pussy. Stay here and don't move.
Yeah, I can do that. Jesus. Don't worry. I'll be right here.
You're always like, sick burn.
Indeed.
And then Sigurd's going to jump jet over to Yavari and raise Betty, aligning shield, providing a +1 to him and Yavari against these things, and he's just going to bang on the front of Betty.
Now, that's against one particular...
Yep, so he's aligning for the first one, the one that's, like, right towards them. That's, like, 10 feet away.
The southernmost one?
Yeah, southernmost one.
Okay. All right. P3 is just going to sit there shaking, just kind of holding the club like... No, I'm just going to stay here. Vinny, you're up.
Can I delay my turn till after the bugs? Vinny kind of just wants to see...
Sure.
What they're going to do, you know what I mean?
You absolutely can do that.
Okay.
All right, so the dredgers are going to take their turn, and the one that Yavari shot is going to leap off the car and, like, scurry over to Yavari and attempt a... attach... It's going to do a full attack. So we're going to start with the attach. It's going to be at a -4. Oops.
Wait, can it full attack and move?
Oh, it cannot. Thank you. Good catch.
You.
So attach is all it's...
See, you got to watch him, Griff. He tries this stuff all the time.
You got a GM on your team now.
That's a natty 1 on the roll. So put that on the board.
Nice.
So it totally fails and skitters to, like, on its, like, trips over the curb and is now prone in front of Yavari. The southernmost dredger, that would be number 3, is going to come up against Sigurd and also try to attach on Sigurd. And that's not going to get it with a 10.
Nope.
Okay. This one, number 4, if on the east side, is going to come up and try to get into Texas grill. Try to get on his barbecue. Alright. How does a 18 look?
It'll hit.
Alright, it is now attached to you.
Oh god.
Alright, and then the last one is going to run up and use its move action to pull the door open. So it used a move action to get there, and then using another move action to open the passenger door that Natasi is in, facing, you know, face to face with Natasi.
Oh, I don't like that.
Okay. That was their turn.
Okay. Then. So, can I get out of the car? Can
mm-hmm.
Okay.
It'd be a move action to open the door, and then another move action to move.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, all right. So, Vinny will look at Tati and say, "Good luck, Toots," and he'll open the door and head out. And then he's gonna get as far as he can over here, try to flank some of these bugs on the other side.
Got it.
That's all I can
all right.
do. All right.
A little bit of a positioning around here. Cora, you're up. I'm sorry, Natasi. You've got this thing now right in your face, and you're kind of like sitting down in the passenger seat as it's trying to climb into the car with you.
All right. I don't like that. But not wanting to provoke an attack of opportunity or anything, Adam, I need to know what my options are because I'm sitting down right here. Can I do 5 feet to get into the driver's side of the car without provoking?
I don't think so, man. Not while you're sitting. I just don't. I mean, you're gonna have to do a better selling job than that. But my initial ruling is gonna be a no on that because you're sitting, trying to slide over. It's tough to be guarded in that position.
All right. Well, then here's what I'll counter with. There are three things in Starfinder that provoke attacks of opportunity: firing a ranged weapon within melee range, casting a spell, or moving mm-hmm. through a threatened square. So, could I move
moving
away?
Out of a threatened square?
That's...
Right, it's moving out of a threatened square.
Oh, okay. Then this yeah. forum
but
I'm
should
reading
still
is wrong.
Be moving into, not out of.
No, he's in a threatened square right now. If he moves out of that square,
I had it backwards. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. If that is the case, I don't like many of my options.
It's a bad situation
it
for you.
It's a bad situation. Sorry for taking time, guys. I did not expect to be in this situation.
Dude, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do too, man.
Yeah, I got a face hugger on me.
All right. I don't want to lose a spell if I cast it. So could I move to use a move action to get into the other seat, which could potentially provoke, and then cast a spell?
Yes, you can do that.
All right. So Natasi, her initiative was so bad, she must have been, like, chewing bubble gum or something when this started, and the bubble popped right when this thing broke out. This dredger runs up, rips open the door, and she's just kind of trying to scramble into the other seat to put a little distance between her and this thing.
All right, so the opportunity attack is going to be a 20 to hit.
Oh, come on, of course that hits.
All right. We're going to do 5 points of slashing damage. Get you, like, on your ankle as you're sliding across. Just, like, rips into your leg. Scrambling to get in there. Just, you know, trying to get in the, you know, chase you down. But you do move over a seat.
Okay. In which case, Natasi's right eye is going to glow. This red... mist coalesces around her temples, and I'm going to need this dredger to roll a will save if it has a mind.
Oh, it has a mind. A will save, you say, huh? And is this a mind affecting?
It is.
All right, so this has not happened yet, but I get to roll twice and take the better effect because it has.
I was wondering what that was going to be like for the swarm, actually.
Yeah, I knew something was going to happen.
All right, you might have still got me here, though. I got a 15 on that will save.
Did you say a 15?
15, yeah.
Meets beats, buddy. But that's only for half.
Okay.
So you're going to take half of 18 damage.
Woo! Man, I love those mind thrusts.
As Natasi casts a mind thrust and pops an artery in this thing's brain.
Nice.
Sure, dude. I mean, that's a... Like, you see it, like, kind of stall out for a second, seize up. Like, you see it try to fight against your mind thrust and, like, kind of chitter to the dredger next to it. But nonetheless, you still see, like... purple ooze kind of trickle out of its eyes as this mind thrust lands for 9 damage, and you kind of like scrambling out of your way, kicking at it, you know. Still an intense situation there. Yavari, you're up.
So Yavari is going to, she saw the whole thing went down with old Tex, and she's going to kind of like free action in her mind, just kind of like scream out to him, like, hold on, and is going to drop her gun and pull out her axe, flare axe. Okay. And try and take care of this one that's prone in front of her.
All right. It's going to be a +4 to your attack.
Okay. I think that an 18 is going to get it.
18 will hit.
Oh, 18 +4. Sorry. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 22 hits.
All right. Yeah. So that is going to be 7 damage.
And you cleft it in twain as you smash this bug in front of you, and it dies.
And she's going to use her move action.
You've already used your move action to draw your...
I thought that was part of a move action, because I have right. a minimum of...
But you used your move action to draw it. That's your move action. And then you attacked. You don't get to split your move action.
Yep.
Lame! Sorry.
Tex, you're up. You got this thing on you. What are you going to do here?
It's on my face, like attached to my face.
Yeah, well, it's like kind of on your neck, like trying to get up to your face, but it's on you. It's like you can. It's like gripping around your shoulders, and its little sucker mouth is right on your neck.
Oh, goddamn. That's so gross. I guess all I can do is use... I'm going to try to puncture veil it. Send some cactus needles into it.
Okay. Let me ask you, is that an area of effect?
No, it's a target.
What do you think about this target being on you, though?
I think that I would have them come from behind him.
It's still a spell, so if he's grappled or whatever, you gotta...
You're going to have to roll the concentration, right, to make sure...
I mean, it's an instantaneous spell.
Right, but you are grappled.
Well, yeah, if it's instantaneous, so, it doesn't have a somatic or verbal component, right?
I don't know about that. It's not... Is that a spell or... No, it is a spell.
Yep.
Do you have a spell slot left?
I have one, because I leveled up.
All right, so basically... That would provoke an opportunity attack.
Well.
Right, because you're casting a spell and a threatened.
Well, goddamn it!
That being said, you know already from previous encounters with these dredgers that while they're attached, they cannot do opportunity attacks. So, my only question then is the concentration aspect of it.
I mean,
do they make you grappled?
All right, so once attached, the creature gains a +4 bonus to its AC and a +2 circumstance bonus to melee attacks, but can only attack the creature to which it's attached. An attached creature can't move on its own, though it moves with its target, take an action that requires two hands, or make attacks of opportunity.
Well, in Starfinder, grapple doesn't...
It's not grappled.
In Starfinder, grapple doesn't impact casting spells anyway.
All right, well, I say you can do it then. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, instantaneous spell. That'll be 1 damage, but it takes bleeding 1 for 3 rounds.
Oof.
And okay. Then he's just like trying to calm himself, like, God, somebody save me, somebody save me.
All right. Sig, you're up.
Sigurd's going to charge at the one that was just veil punctured, incurring an attack of opportunity, but he doesn't really care. So that gains him another entropy point for charging, and he's going to slam into the thing.
Okay.
With Betty.
Bring it.
That won't do. It's a 3 on the die. but now he's up in its face.
Okay, well.
Are you taking an AOO?
Yeah, you're going to take an AOO for that. Oh, yeah, that's going to hit you with a 24.
Okay.
Four. 5 points of slashing damage.
All right, that's 3 entropy points. Thank you.
Nice.
Watch out. All right, it is now P3's turn. And he, you know, he's sitting in the back of the truck, and he's watching this dredger try to, like, climb in on Natasi. And he just kind of grits his jaw and leaps off of the back of the truck, baton in hand, trying to swing on top of this dredger. He's going to get in the fight, y'all.
That's what I'm talking about.
Attaboy, P3. Boy.
So with a 19, he's going to hit for 6 points of damage.
This...
And he kills it.
What the
he fuck? Smashes what? It.
Was that the one and, I thrusted? Looked... Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And,
there you go, Len.
And he like lands there and he like looks into the cab and he says, "Well, there might be hope for me yet."
No,
I got you.
He gonna die now.
Yeah, now he gonna die.
And yeah, now it's the dredge's turn. Okay, 2 of them are down. There's 2 up. You better believe that this one is gonna come over to P3 and make an attack on old P3.
So, question.
Yeah.
So this map is not gridded necessarily. The way Yavari is currently stationed, ooh, he should be,
Yes, that would provoke an opportunity attack.
Yeah, it will.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get it.
Okie dokie, and that's going to be a 16 to hit.
That'll hit.
Yeah. Oh, max damage. It's going to be 8. 8 damage.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely get a huge chunk out of it on its way out as it leaps towards towards P3. Let's see here. Ooh, that's going to hit with a 24. All right. Let's see. How much health? Ooh, he's only got 5 health, y'all.
Whoa.
Because y'all hurt him. And haven't healed him.
We should have been not doing bad stuff.
Yeah, so he's like kind of looking at you, Natasi, as he's like kind of smiling at you like, "I got you." And as he does that, you see a claw just emerge from his throat. And he's just like sitting there like dangling as this swarm dredger like punctures through his throat. And you can hear his blood gurgling as he tries to breathe. And then the swarm... takes its claw out and it just falls to the ground.
Use your resolve, P3.
Right at you.
Grip, I don't think that's gonna happen.
My name was Pete. Remember me?
Wait, did he die from getting attached to her or just from getting hit?
He didn't go for the attach. It just went with the claw. The one that's attached to you is going to full attack you.
Tight.
Oh, that's an 18 and a 19 on the die for both those attacks.
Just going to kill everybody.
So that's going to be 2 attacks here on Tex. Ooh, that's 13 points slashing damage. Oh, man. And so it just gets in there and is just ripping through Tex's shoulder and just biting deeply into his neck. P3's down, dead. Tex is unconscious as this thing is just ripping him to pieces. Vin, what you gonna do?
So Vin sees all this going down. First of all, I want to look to Vin's right in the car. Are the family alive still?
They're alive still.
Okay,
they look terrified and just kind of watching. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. So Vin will take a few steps up, and I want to. Okay, all right. Here's what he's gonna do. He's gonna reach out a hand and sort of like spin his hand. And as he does that, this kind of holographic circle appears in the air, and these like holographic red runes start appearing, going clockwise. Okay, and as he does that, he's also going to turn his hand and reach out towards Sigurd. And when he does that, this sort of holographic hexagonal grid starts appearing in the air in front of Sigurd. And then about that time, those runes go all the way around and this glowing reddish-orange energy appears. And out of it comes overheat, as Vin casts overheat with selective targeting to block the square that Sigurd is in from taking the damage. But both of those bugs are going to take that damage.
Okay.
All right. So.
Very nice description. Taking the inspiration for that.
Thank you. I will.
What the fuck? I wrote 1,000 words.
You got an inspiration.
Cast a spell.
You got an inspiration.
They're way
up. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you did get an inspiration.
So I want a three all pack.
Right. So, overheat. 15-foot cone. You know, basically, they got to roll a DC 15 will save. No, no. I'm sorry. It's reflex, right?
Can you let me ask you this before you go too far? Can you only block it off of one square?
Correct. One square.
All right. So that 15 feet. No. If you want to hit the one that's on Tex, you're going to hit Tex.
Tex is down.
Right. But it's an area of effect.
It can still do damage. Kill me.
It still can do damage, which would pull a resolve point off of him.
Yeah. Vin's going to do it anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So give me some reflex saves. It's 2d8 damage.
All right. All right, the one on Vin fails the reflex save, and the other one also fails. So that's going to be 2d8 to both to Vin and both the...
Well, Vin's the one casting the spell.
I mean, not Vin, to Tex. Tex, what is your max HP?
7? No, I leveled it up. It is 12.
Okay, don't do more than 12 points of damage with this.
Wait. I'm pretty sure the rule is 6. I'm pretty sure it's half your max HP. If you take more than half your max HP.
No, if you take your max HP when you're at 0.
I thought the massive damage
rule was more than half. It's more than half. So if it's more than 6, he's going to die.
If it makes you feel better, I do have a backup character created.
All right, I'm rolling.
This is psychotic. I'm about to see the bar lose her goddamn mind.
It's 10 damage.
I'm dead.
10 damage.
Really?
Is that damage. This is how this happened.
Are you serious?
Bro.
So early.
What?
Okay.
I'm sorry, so man. Friendly fire.
You killed both the bugs with this overheat, and they light up and just like shriek in pain as they're on fire. And as the smoke clears, you see that Tex Arcana's body was also engulfed in flames. Didn't hear his screams because he was unconscious when he took that hit. He's permanently dead, and I don't know. I think you guys just need to finish your drinks.
You'll fucking see it. Oh my god!
You gotta be kidding me.
This is just a brutal way to add a character to the campaign. He's here for 2 episodes, kills one friendly fire, kills somebody.
Damn! Hey man,
I'm sorry man, I'm sorry.
Nobody
dude.
Can accuse this one of pulling punches.
Oh my god!
But it was also like you didn't pull any punches.
Yeah,
specifically you. Yeah. And nobody else but you.
Let's just make sure those rules are right.
Hold on, before we stop,
we're not stopping the recording.
No, the recording's still on. No, we haven't. Nothing's final.
I'm pretty sure it's
we gotta make sure this is right.
I have another character. Yeah.
Let's just make sure. Because this is a character death. All right. If you take damage from a single attack that reduces you to 0 HP and there is damage remaining, you die instantly. If the remaining damage is equal to or greater than your maximum hit points, you die.
Okay.
So it has to be equal to.
Okay.
So he's alive.
All right. So he's good.
So he's good.
A reverse cost.
Adam.
Hey, don't add a me.
Yeah. That's my bad. That's for some reason, I thought it was half.
I just saved his life.
Let's
finish our drinks. Let's just finish our drinks. The bar is having a panic attack.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
No, but so going, like.
Yeah, Tex was dead, and then he like just he's like all charred and burned, and like, you know, but he's a witch worker, so.